I'm lucky enough today to be with the great Mark Jackson, and that's M-A-R-C, Jackson, and formerly from Illinois, but now from Charlotte, North Carolina, college football player, correct?
Correct.
And well-coached.
Well-coached. Best coached.
Yep, and still skinny, which I think is a very important thing. As a former athlete, when you see a former athlete and he's a fat guy, he loses all kind of credibility. But Mark is now manager of people who sell sports tickets. And how many people are in your domain? How many?
Roughly 25.
Okay, 30. 25 kids. And they're young kids.
Anywhere from a recent graduate to, you know, 28 or late 30s. Or I'm sorry, late 20s, early 30s.
Now, the reason I'm asking Mark is, first of all, he's selling tickets. He's selling things that are fun. It's not like you're asking me to buy a life insurance policy or car insurance. I mean, this is for fun. Secondly, all the people who he has under his domain are typically inexperienced people when they start. Although having been there for 4 or 5 years, there's some guys that are pretty good now, men and women that are pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. But the secret of Mark's success is, he is one notch better than anybody who's there, and everybody knows it. Most sales managers don't understand that they have to be one notch better than everyone in their employ. Talk about that for just a second.
First off, that's debatable, but I thank you for it.
You're welcome.
What I learned when I started off, just like the people that we hire in our entry-level sales staff, and as I was able to grow, when I was in Phoenix for the year two, year three, as I started taking on a leadership role, was that as you're teaching, it helps you improve. It helps with your own development. Because if you're going to teach somebody, if you're going to mentor somebody, you technically have to be the expert.
Exactly.
So
if they don't perceive you as a doer, you're dead.
Correct. So I was, when I was learning, I was learning how to sell when I was actually doing it full time, day to day. But then I was also mentoring new hires who were extremely green, who had just graduated from college.
But wanting to succeed.
One
of the things about the sports tickets business is everyone in there is eager.
Yes.
You know, they all love sports. They all love the game. Most of them are former athletes of some kind or another, whether they played badminton or tennis or golf or whatever. They love the sport.
Yes.
And they're there because they love the game. And maybe they make a little bit less money. Maybe they make a little bit more money. But the bottom line is they have heart before they even start.
Yeah, and that's actually one thing during our recruiting process. I mean, we have certain things that we look for, and passion is definitely one of them. It's one of the key characteristics because we can teach – I like to think that, and it not sounding arrogant, but I think that we can teach pretty much anybody how to sell sports tickets in this industry. Can't teach somebody to be hungry or passionate, have drive and an insatiable appetite to just be successful at by any means necessary. So those are the things that we look for. You typically see those in former athletes, but you know, you see them in people who that haven't played sports. They just have a desire. There's that it factor that you know that they're going to be successful.
The one thing that I found just in helping your guys, which I've been doing literally since the Hornets started, then they became the Bobcats, now they're back to the Hornets again, is that most of the people in the room are pretty eager. Most of the people want to succeed. The problem is they don't know the strategy or the technique, and they're selling something that they themselves cannot afford to buy. That's a huge issue.
Yeah, it's you have to get yourself. I was actually having that conversation a couple weeks ago, where you have to remove your own feelings or preferences out of the sales process. So just because you might think it might be you might be overstepping your boundary, but or you wouldn't prefer to somebody to do this, or you couldn't afford this. Like, that's irrelevant. It shouldn't be a part of your thought process. You should be reacting based on what you've been taught.
And focusing on the customer. They can afford it, and they want to go. And the kid gets to go anyway. They get to go to all the games. So it's not like they can have a front row seat if they choose to have one.
Well, the seller can't, because we're working those games. They're running around. They don't get to see the majority of the games. They might get to see the fourth quarter, if that. But you're right. Again, focusing on the training is focusing on the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And really basically understanding opportunities there.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able to offer solutions, value propositions that make sense for them, whatever their goals are.
Well, you know my philosophy of making it an emotional sale. I want to ask somebody to talk about what the first game they went to with their dad was or their mom was, and bringing them back to that emotional state, and then having them picture in their mind, oh, I have to take my kid, or I have to take my customer because this is a fun time for them. And this is something, you know, so there's always an emotion that's attached to it. Some people focus on the money, but your best customers focus on the fun of the game, the value of the game, the family there, the business there, the friends there, whatever it is. And you have to be able to convey that to your people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes we call it storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really being able to articulate the value, not only the value, but the experience that going to the game or having access to the game brings. And it covers a wide bandwidth. And it's not necessarily about the money. It's about the value. And that value is different for every single person, because it could be John Smith, who is a CEO who wants to entertain his clients because mm-hmm. he needs to develop loyalty amongst his employees.
Mm-hmm.
And a great way to do that is mm-hmm. by offering experience that his or her employees may or may not have the opportunity to provide for themselves and their families. And as you said, going to a ball game with your dad for the first time is you're not going to forget it. I can remember mine. It was a White Sox game. So,
I can remember mine. It was the Philadelphia Athletics playing the Boston Red Sox.
So I
saw Ted Williams actually hit a home run.
I don't remember who won. I just remember I was at Old Comiskey, and it was a White Sox game, and I had a great time, and I got a hot dog.
Right, exactly.
So, I think it's...
But
it's,
everybody remembers that.
Yes.
That's the whole game. If I can bring that into the conversation, I'm going to win. But I want to talk about leadership.
Okay.
You have all these kids, and they are... you're responsible for them. You're responsible to make them more successful. They don't understand that part. They think they need to be successful on their own. Your job is to coach them and encourage them. You have anything that you specifically do on an everyday basis that you feel puts the heat in their pants or puts their words in their mouth?
I wouldn't say I have anything specific. I wish I could say I was the smartest person or the most creative person. Oftentimes,
now let me say that.
Oftentimes, I'm using stuff that was taught to me or was done to me, whether that was when I was an actual athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Things I remember, my dad, who was a coach, he used to do with me and my brother, or even the things that when I was a sales rep, some of the different strategies or tactics were given or were, I guess, were applied to the me and the rest of the sales staff. So I'm not original by any means. I usually just take something, repackage it, put something and put my own spin on it and go from there.
There's nothing wrong with that. But you have all these kids to encourage every day. How do you greet them in the morning?
Usually I let them come in. We usually get in around somewhere between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. They're on the phones between that time. They were actually there. I walked in the office before I came here at 7:25, 7:30, and several of them were already sat down and getting their day started on a mm-hmm. Friday, mm-hmm. which that just energizes me because, again, Fridays, you know, some people are like, they're already started thinking about the weekend.
Right.
Not these kids. No, they're ready to go. And what I love about it is I think that they get me excited because when they come in, they're ready to go. They're already got their day started. They're already on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's just making sure that I'm present, making sure that they know what's expected. And I think that's the biggest thing. Like for me, being in the position that I am,
mm-hmm.
transparency is key. Communication is key so that everybody understands the goal and their role within that game plan to make everybody successful. Again, that's, I look at it like when I was an athlete, if on one play, if one person isn't doing their job, then the entire play doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so I approach it a lot like that. Everybody understands what the game plan is. Everybody understands what the expectation is for each individual, which is different for each individual as well. So not everybody has the same job, but everybody's job leads to the team goal.
So let me give you the sports analogy. You're the quarterback, and you cannot throw an interception on the goal line in the Super Bowl when you should be handing the ball off to Marshawn Lynch, even if your ass falls off.
The 230-pound monster, yeah.
Exactly.
You should be handing the ball off.
Bingo. And you can't afford to take that hit. Every handoff that you give has to be at least a first down in order to get to the touchdown.
Yeah, and I would say that I am the analogy I would say is I'm not even the quarterback. I am a coordinator. I'm one of the offensive coordinators, or I'm the defensive coordinator. I have a counterpart at the arena, and we both call plays. And then we also have, in my opinion, the best leadership team in the industry. And, you know, people will maybe, I'm sure other teams feel that same way, but I have no doubt that the guys and gals that I'm with in terms of our leadership team, it's the best in our industry. And I think the synergy.
Well, it's proven by the fact that we are, and I'm going to say we because it's the Hornets, we are perennially in the second half of the division, but in ticket sales, we're in the top 10%.
Well, again, I think that goes back to leadership.
Totally. And fan support. I mean, they're willing to buy.
Well, absolutely. I'm talking just in the term, talking internally. I think that we have strong leadership. Even my leadership is extremely strong, extremely talented. And I learn from them every single day. I think that our sales management team is always on the same page and always has the same goals. And so regardless of how we go about accomplishing those goals, the path might be a little different. We always end up in the same spot.
Yeah.
And I think that that trickles down to the staff. I mean, we have a phenomenal staff, literally from the entry level all the way to those who are continued our senior and most tenured sales reps. You can see that throughout. And I think, that's what makes me the most proud when I go into work, is because I know that we have collectively built arguably one of the best staffs in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we still are just, we scratch the surface on what we can.
Oh, I agree with that. Let me throw this at you if you're watching this or you're listening to this. Mark is a great sales manager because he is a great student of sales. He has remained a student. And if you listen to this conversation, you understand he doesn't just take things from one guy and puts his own spin on it. What he does is he studies it and then figures out how to apply it within the framework of his job so that his people can be successful. The Hornets may be in the bottom 25% of the league, but they're in the top 5% of the league in terms of sales, numbers, profit, fan support, you name it.
Well, yeah. I think that goes back.
That is not luck, by the way.
I think it goes back to everybody, one, strong leadership at the top, and then everybody also believing in not only the leadership, but the product as well. So for us, I think all of Charlotte, everybody wants to see us,
of course they do.
In the championship, which we're going to be eventually at some point, no doubt. But I think that everybody believes not only in the product, but also the leadership and the process.
As soon as we get Stephon Curry, we're going to be in pretty good shape. All we have to do is give him part of the franchise.
I don't think I'm allowed to speak. I wouldn't even want to even speak on any person not on our team or roster. But I would... I just know that I try to take care of my end of the business.
I got you.
And I focus on that. And that's to make sure that we have all of our sales staff has everything that they need to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to continue to stay aggressive in our approach and cool. Be as creative and aggressive as possible.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Mark Jackson. Thanks for being here.